Sure. Yes. Fine. Fine.
That's not
fine,
exactly
fine.
What I was expecting. But
that
okay.
sound,
That's
of course, means another mock draft yeah. has been unveiled.
Ah, new mock drafts. Are they taking Fernando Mendoza at pick 9? He just falls craters.
That would be who in the world did that mock draft, and you should stop doing mock drafts.
Where's this one from?
This is from The Ringer.
Okay.
And the individual who did this one was Danny Kelly. And the reason why I picked this one is because it's a different name than what we've talked about here previously with the Chiefs. It's not Reuben Bain. It's not David Bailey. It's not Jeremiah Love. It's not Carnell Tate.
Is it Lemon?
He hasn't mentioned
It is not Mekhi Lemon. It is not Tyson either. It's not an offensive lineman. It's cornerback Mansoor Delane from LSU.
Oh, now corner.
The profile, if you would, the little piece that Danny Kelly did was the Tigers standout excels in both press and off man look, showing a knack for anticipating routes and making plays on the ball at the catch point. Delaney did not give up a single touchdown in coverage this year per Pro Football Focus.
That's impressive.
Started at Vatech and now ended up at LSU.
But I am to understand that if I believe this one, that Trent McDuffie's not on this team then, right?
Not necessarily, because you know you're losing one of your starting corners.
It would mean that you're definitely not keeping McDuffie and signing Jalen Watson and taking a corner at 9.
Yeah, I guess in my mind, it's just like, I don't want them taking a corner at 9 unless they're trading McDuffie and getting a pick back in return so they can still get a defensive lineman or a pass catcher.
The only conceivable way is, they still have McDuffie and David Bailey and Bain are gone, and it's Caleb Downs or it's a corner.
I know, but
and they take the corner instead, and they pair him up with Trent McDuffie.
It's a terrible defensive strategy.
And Trent McDuffie can then go inside. I think there's
there's
reasons you can talk yourself into it, though, is you can play Trent at his normal position in the slot. I know he can travel everywhere, but you put him at the natural spot. You get a shutdown corner on the outside to replace Jalen Watson, who obviously you don't want to give the money to. It's a cheaper option. I think there's reasoning to not just discount corner at 9 entirely, even if you keep Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, I mean, my number one priority is defensive line, but in your scenario, which could happen, which is that the two top defensive linemen or perceived top two defensive linemen are not there, then where do they pivot? I don't want them taking a running back at 9, so take that off the board. I would be open to wide receiver if Carnell Tate's there. Corner, I think it would have to mean, you're right, they could still just play it out with McDuffie where they don't extend them and they just continue to play this out for another year or two, including the franchise tag a year from now.
2 years, yeah.
But I think at that point, then you don't re-sign Watson earlier in the offseason in that scenario, and you have Fulton and McDuffie and Noel Williams as your corners. Do you feel you need to go get a corner at 9? I think you can do better positional value wise than taking one there unless you feel like you're about to lose McDuffie and Jalen Watson. Then we're having a completely different conversation. So I think corner's in the mix. It's just not my number one or two probably position I would take. That's all.
One site says he soundness and notable strengths along with his deceleration and ball tracking skills, IQ, tackling ability, assignment soundness is all they put it. They said his physical tools, some of his, I guess, concerns are press coverage consistency and ability against number one wide receivers.
Well, it's because he's not, he's
including
he's smaller.
Size, strength, and speed.
Yeah, like
he's 6 foot 200, essentially.
Yeah. That's, I think, 200's being generous, I think.
197.
I guess depends on, again, this is why the combine helps, because then we get the actual, some teams list them wrong. Some teams will list him at 200, and then you look at another site, he's 185. So who knows?
You said in that draft, all the other guys we want are gone. Mendoza and Moore in this mock draft go.
Bain is still available.
Fano,
Bain slide into like 15.
Offensive tackle. Arvell Reese, Bailey are gone. I'm trying to just see. Yeah, you're right. Bain is still available in this, but Carnell Tate goes the pick before, so that would eliminate
Peter White's technically still available, but would you rather have D tackle individually?
I would.
I really would.
I think one thing about
the Chiefs
Peter
defense,
Woods is
if one defense understands what a dominant defensive tackle can do for your defense, I'm pretty sure it's Kansas City and what Chris Jones has been doing the last 10
years. A lot of the talk, at least from mock drafts and looking at, is if Peter Woods plays to his potential, he's top tier talent. It sounds like there's a caveat in there a little bit.
I just think that was kind of
is there a question about his effort? Is that what you're hitting at?
I don't know, but I don't know if there is or not, but I'm just saying based on the mock drafts is that if he plays to his potential, essentially I'm seeing that a lot, is he could be one of the best players in the draft. You see that if he plays to his potential, if he reaches that consistency at the top level, like maybe there's more flashes that we've seen, because obviously Clemson hasn't been considered one of the top programs here. I know they made the playoff last year, but they're just not the same Clemson that we're used to seeing. And I don't know if there's multiple reasons why that could be, obviously.
I think the Chiefs have really got to decide in the draft. And obviously some of this will be decided for them based on when we see the free agency moves that they make. It doesn't seem like a logical year to draft like some of the running back positions or some of these the same way as I did before, because they are available in free agency. It's a decent free agent tight end year. So before you offer me Sadiq at 9, I can have Isaiah Likely for a little bit. I can have Pitts. I can have Cade Otton. Like, there are good available tight ends in free agency, good available running backs in free agency. Corner's always tough. So to this draft at number 9, corner's tough. And because of that, Jalen Watson is going to get a mountain of cash because of how thin corner is in free agency.
Did you say Caleb Downs wasn't available at 9 in this hypothetical?
He was.
He was available.
So Bain was available, Downs was available, and they took
Woods was available.
Now look, we're so far out, so like, who am I to say that this mock is wrong, right? Like, it's a mock, and it's January 13th. I mean, like, we got so much time, so many, you know, they got the whole combine. You've got others, you know, other information that's going to come out long before the end of April, when hopefully we're in Pittsburgh doing our show during the draft. And by the time we get there, it's a completely different conversation. Maybe this guy will be viewed as clearly a real candidate, you know, to go number 9 overall. Right now, I don't know how I feel about corner, but as you said, if we find out that they re-sign Jalen Watson, then I think everybody will take, you know, will remove any thought of them taking a corner at 9. So there's other moves. You know, if they surprise us and make a trade for a defensive lineman or something, then it changes our thought of, do they need one at 9? You know, there's so many different things. Do we get any more news on the Rashee Rice situation? Although I don't think we're going to. Does that change your thought at number 9 overall? So we're way off on how, you know, this is going to go in terms of timing. You know, we just got so much of it.